Live hour number three of the program underway. How can you talk about guys getting thrown out of games without mentioning Corbin Woods, the Big Ten, Iowa's honoree or nominee for the Big Ten Sportsmanship Award, getting dumped from Saturday night's game against the Golden Gophers, which is ironic to say the least. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to be around for the celebration on Sunday as Iowa won the Big Ten championship over Northwestern at Bart Kauffman Field in Bloomington. The Hawkeyes now on to Houston. Houston means that I'm one step closer to Omaha. That's not how the song actually goes, but what if it did? 319-366-1600. Iowa, of course, has not been back to Omaha since 1972, the College World Series appearance that the team celebrated a reunion of a couple weeks ago at Duane Banks Field. Jim Sundberg, longtime Major League Baseball veteran, joining us on the program while he was in town for the weekend. Hawkeyes set to face Houston on Friday, 7:04 on ESPN2, so more national coverage for Rick Heller and his program. Not everybody gets the Big Ten Network. Most people with cable get ESPN2. Texas A&M and Baylor, again, wouldn't be completely surprised to see Texas A&M come out of that regional, but I think the Hawkeyes have as good of a shot here as they would in any other regional, in my opinion, to get out of there, make it to a super regional. Unfortunately, at that point, you're probably looking at North Carolina, which is one of the best programs in college baseball year in and year out. Florida Gulf Coast, which is the alma mater of Boston Red Sox pitcher Chris Sale. Michigan, so you got another Big Ten team. The Big Ten, by the way, putting five teams into the NCAA tournament this year, so quite a good showing for Big Ten baseball. On the year, Colonels are in action tonight, taking on the Quad Cities River Bandits at 6:35, so about 30 minutes away from first pitch. And I haven't been outside in a while. I know it's a little bit chilly, but the sun is out and should be an absolutely beautiful night there at the ballpark for some Midwest League baseball as the Cedar Rapids Colonels coming home after a four-game trip to Geneva, Illinois, where they split that four-game series with the Arizona Diamondbacks affiliate, the Kane County Cougars. Joining us now to talk a little baseball, Major League Baseball to be exact. He does it every other week during the season. It's Ed Creech from MLBTradeRumors.com. And Ed, we'll just go ahead and start with the story of the day, and that's the suspensions handed down by Major League Baseball for Hunter Strickland, 6 games, and Bryce Harper, 4 games. Too strict, no pun intended, too light. What are your thoughts?
I don't think so. It's probably about right because, you know, they're going to appeal it, and there's the agreement with the collective bargaining agreement as far as how strict the suspensions can be. I think what's even more absurd about this, rather than the debate about the length of the suspension, is whether or not this should even have happened. Hunter Strickland allegedly is throwing at Bryce Harper because of something that happened 3 years ago in the playoffs, and Harper, who's trying to angle for a $400 million contract in free agency, is going to risk that with his previous shoulder injuries by getting into a benches-clearing brawl. I don't know what's more asinine, Strickland throwing at him or Harper charging the mound. So, you know, they could use a week off, both of them, just to have fresher and cooler heads. It was the whole episode was asinine.
How about Buster Posey just standing at home plate, taking it all in?
Exactly. And you can read that of one of two ways. One, that he disagreed with what Strickland did. And two, he had enough common sense not to get involved in it. You know, he's had some leg injuries. Why risk yourself getting in the middle of that and getting yourself injured? Because he is the MVP of the Giants. So Posey's actions speak loudly. Again, on two counts, as we mentioned, Strickland was an idiot, and so was Harper. So I think Posey spoke volumes by just standing behind the plate. And God bless Brian Gorman, 57 years old, getting out in the middle of that to try to prevent it. Thumbs up for Brian Gorman, the home plate umpire.
I was just talking about this in the previous hour, but I think back to Dustin Pedroia kind of talking to Manny Machado after he got hit, trying to not defend his teammate, but to basically say, if it was me out there, I wouldn't have hit you. And then now Buster Posey not really getting involved. Are players, is that a sign of players around the league realizing kind of how dumb this is and how risky it is for all of them to get mixed up in this kind of thing?
I think so, especially with the salaries that are at stake here. Again, I mentioned Bryce Harper is angling the first $400 million man when he's free agency. He was plagued by shoulder injuries last year. Wild risk. And if you watch the video of the brawl, you saw somebody came in for and Harper could have been knocked down by either his own teammate, a member of the Giants, landed on the shoulder, and just re-injured it, and really could have caused himself a financial calamity by even participating in this. And I think you're going to see that. I think players are going to see that, hey, more often than not, you're seeing players getting injured in these things, and it's fairly stupid. I mean, if you take a look at the reaction both on the Giants and the Nationals afterwards, most of the Nationals are saying, why is Strickland upset? They won the World Series. That's the biggest way to get revenge. A guy hits two home runs off you, but you won both games. Look at the larger picture. Again, in 2014, the Giants won the World Series. Why are you carrying a grudge for 3 years? I think this is maybe some frustration bubbling up with the Giants as well for as bad of a season they've had. But it's amazing how stupid athletes can be sometimes.
Ed Creech joining us from MLBTradeRumors.com. Let's stick in the NL West ever so briefly. Why aren't more people talking about the Colorado Rockies leading that division?
I think they're just waiting for the other shoe to fall. When you take a look at the Rockies, historically, their pitching hasn't been very good. And they have a lot of young, unsung young players. And I think when you have a lot of untested players like this, you're just waiting for them to hit the wall, which is usually happening in July and August. And they've been doing this remarkably without, you know, Ian Desmond really hasn't been a vital cog in this. They've been doing this under the radar with a lot of young, developing players, and I think that's kind of what has caught people off guard. And I also think when you were talking about the NL West going into the season, I think everybody thought it was going to be the Dodgers and the Giants. And now the Giants have cratered, but the Dodgers are right there. And I think, again, with the Colorado Rockies, based on their history, especially with their pitching, they're just waiting for the other shoe to fall. But I think you got to give them credit. Desmond's been hurt. Story's been hurt. And yet they've really done a great job, mainly because of Nolan Arenado and Charlie Blackmon.
Moving to the AL East, will the other shoe drop on the New York Yankees, or are they just here as a contender a little bit ahead of schedule?
I don't think so. The AL East is always going to be competitive for a main reason. Outside of the Blue Jays, there are rotation questions with the Yankees, with the Orioles, with the Red Sox. Tampa, I think, will probably filter down to the bottom of that division. But, you know, the Blue Jays have the best rotation in the AL East. They've just been decimated by injuries to their position players, especially Tulowitzki and Donaldson, and struggling players like Russell Martin. So I think because the pitching is so mediocre among those top teams in the AL East, I think they're going to be very competitive. And when you take a look at the schedule from top to bottom, from the Yankees to the Blue Jays, there's only 6.5 games separating them. So that's, you know, basically one good losing streak, one good winning streak, and that's a very neck and neck. So unless somebody can develop a head and shoulders better rotation than the other teams, I think it's going to be really close. So I don't think it's going to be so much the other shoe dropping for the Yankees. I think it's just going to be a very tight division throughout the year.
Are you buying into the Aaron Judge hysteria at this point?
A little bit more so. I still remember what he did last year when he was up, but you have to be impressed by what he's done so far. I think the more at-bats he gets and the more time he plays, I think you're seeing more of a real deal. So I'm not anointing him the greatest slugger since Mickey Mantle in Yankee Stadium, but I think I've been impressed by what he's done this year. Not so much what he's done this year, but as compared to what he did when he was called up at the end of 2016.
Moving to the NL Central, is Scott Schebler a piece that can, Cedar Rapids native Scott Schebler, by the way, is he a piece that the Reds can kind of not build around, but build upon moving forward for an organization that's rebuilding?
I think they can. I think this is a lot. I think a lot of people liken him to Jay Bruce, He's not a great right fielder defensively, but I think they have they're pretty promising his power capabilities. I think, again, with Schebler, it's just a case with any young player. They just need to get some at-bats, learn the pitches. Strike recognition, I think, is a very key thing for any young player, for any veteran for that matter. So I think once he gets familiar with the strike zone and is able to lay off some of the pitches that he's been chasing, I don't think he's going to be the icon of the Reds. I don't think he's going to be the cornerstone, but I think he can be a very nice little building block, similar to the name is just left me, the left fielder for the
Reds. Adam Duvall.
What's that?
Adam Duvall.
Yeah, Duvall. I think that can be kind of nice bookends. Again, I don't think you're talking maybe all-star level, not so much, but I think just very solid pieces and who may be able to see the end of the rebuild in Cincinnati.
Cubs and the Cardinals both sitting at 500 right now. The Cubs at 25 and 25, Cardinals at 24 and 24. Are we just content to have to watch the teams sort of slog through the NL Central until October rolls around, or is someone going to forcibly take the driver's seat?
I think you're probably going to just see him slog. And there are two different things that have been bothering each team. I think for the Cardinals, I think especially you saw it in Colorado, that bullpen is horrible. When you see Trevor Rosenthal actually having the best season in the Cardinal bullpen, considering where he was at the start of spring training, that they're thinking about extending him as a starter, or maybe that Andrew Miller type reliever, multi-inning reliever, that he's become one of your better pitchers in the bullpen. I think that's a big problem for St. Louis. Defensively, they're not a great team, and they've got some people struggling. They just sent down Grichuk down to Class A Advanced to work on his stroke. So I think it's just a case of St. Louis, you know, just failing to measure up both in the bullpen and defensively. The Cubs, on the other hand, I think it's just a case of their veterans letting them down. And it starts in the rotation. You know, this has not been a good West Coast swing for the Cubs, losing four in a row. Lester's been solid, not ace material. He's just been solid. And Arrieta, Lackey have been lacking. Hendricks has started to pick it up a little bit after a slow start to the season. And again, the fifth spot in the rotation has just been horrible. And they still have some of their key players slumping. I mean, even Chris Bryant's numbers, I think, are down from what they should be. And now you have Joe Madden talking about platooning Kyle Schwarber, who, you know, going into the season was supposed to be the guy setting the table for Bryant, for Rizzo, for Addison Russell. So I think if the veteran players can get out of their slump and start producing the way they did, we're not even just talking last year, just up to their career numbers, I think that will give the Cubs the boost. I still think overall, 1 through 25 on the roster, I think the Cubs have the most talented roster in the Central Division, but they just have to perform like it right now.
And I, of course, meant no slight to your Milwaukee Brewers there and leaving them out of the discussion.
Oh, no. I mean, I think everybody in Milwaukee is really surprised by what they've done. I think this is a good case in point where if you can have consistent pitching, it's been inconsistent for them, but when they can get quality starts, they have enough offense where they can actually do very well. They've had some dramatic wins, the Mother Day Miracle, where they rallied from several runs down against the Mets. They've played better baseball as far as defensively. But their young pitching is still a little bit inconsistent, but they've been able to pull off some good games this year. Outside of this streak where they lost five in a row, they've avoided that long losing streak. And I think for Milwaukee, I don't ever see them putting together long winning streaks, but if they can avoid that long losing streak, I think they're going to be a team that, you know, I thought coming into the season, I thought they'd probably be about a 500 team. They're starting to creep up a little bit like where the Cubs were a couple years ago.
Going back to the Cardinals, we talked about it in hour number one. Their broadcaster and former player Mike Shannon kind of had a little bit of a rant about this team and their lack of fundamentals, especially defensively. And a lot of fans and a lot of people, a lot of media members are starting to talk about it and realize that there's a little bit of frustration around not only what the front office has done, but kind of the direction of this team the past 3 years. Should John Mozeliak and Mike Matheny feel any heat in their seat at this point?
I think if there's going to be heat, it's probably going to be more on Matheny rather than Mozeliak. Granted, he's the general manager and puts the team together, but I think when you talk about the fundamentals, that's something that starts back in spring training and you work on. And I think that may end up being the manager's responsibility. But you take a look at how this team has been constructed. I mean, their infield is atrocious. Peralta was never a great shortstop to begin with, and now you're playing him out of position at third. Jed Gurka was, again, never known as a glove infielder. He's always known as a bat first, and he's shown that this year. He's outstanding offensively, but again, not a great glove man. Alemis Diaz, again, was seen more as an offensive first shortstop than a glove. Colton Wong, you think, would be good defensively, but he's had problems offensively, and he's been sporadic as a defense. And you've got Matt Carpenter really playing out of position at first base. So they've tried to, you know, by losing Matt Holliday, they've tried to come up with other sources of offense. And again, when you take a look at, you know, Grichuk is struggling. I think also a thing to remember is the loss of Oscar Tavares, who passed away in that car accident a couple of off-season ago. How much that has affected what they could be doing as far as their offensive shifts. For example, if Tavares hadn't perished in that car accident, would he be in the outfield right now? And would they have been able to use the funds they spent on Dexter Fowler and reallocate that elsewhere? So I think right now with the if it wasn't for the Cubs, they'd still be the cream of the NL Central. But I think they have a lot of holes, and I think trying to put a lot of square pegs into round holes.
Ed Creech joining us from MLBTradeRumors.com. Shifting over to the AL Central for just a little bit. Is it close to striking midnight for the Minnesota Twins?
Boy, that's just another mediocre division. You know, we talked about kind of how we didn't use the word mediocre when describing the AL East, but we just thought it was going to be very competitive from top to bottom. I think there's a lot more talent in the East than there is in the Central, so I think the Central is really mediocre. But this is kind of like the job Molitor was doing 2 years ago when the Twins had a good record. It was really pushing it towards the end. Cleveland has struggled. Their pitching hasn't been as good as you thought. Kluber's had issues. Tomlin, he pitched a gem over the weekend, but, you know, he still has an ERA over 5, and they've now just put Salazar into the bullpen. And Encarnacion, their big free agent signing, has struggled this year. The Tigers, I think, are just biding their time to tear down that franchise and rebuild, and the Sox are in rebuild, and Kansas City's bottoming out. So I think right now, if, you know, Paul Mahler can wave the same kind of magic wand that he did 2 years ago, I think Minnesota could actually be a team that could contend in a very mediocre AL Central. Now, again, from 1 to 25, I think Cleveland has the most talent. And if they can get their injuries behind them and get them producing, I think Cleveland will run away with that division. But I think the way it's shaping up right now, I think Minnesota, as long as they can still find people to give them quality starts in the rotation, I think will be a team to contend with for the division title. Maybe not so much for the wild card, but I think they could, you know, if Cleveland continues to struggle, Minnesota will be in the thick of this.
How much stock are you buying in the future of the Chicago White Sox with the addition of Luis Robert?
It's always hard to project a 19-year-old, so everyone who's because you can't really get your eyes on the scouting. And it's hard to project with any 19-year-old. You know, he probably will not hit the majors probably for at least another 3-4 years. So it just, you know, on paper, it strengthens the farm system. But the question is going to be, not only are you acquiring these assets who on paper are very talented and very, you know, top 100 prospects, but now it's going to be up to the White Sox and the developmental staff to make sure they reach the major leagues and can produce. So I think, you know, again, the White Sox blew through their bonus. They paid a lot of money for him because since they did exceed their international bonus pool, it's not just the $26 million signing bonus they gave Robert. It's going to be doubled because of the penalties on that. So you're talking about giving the franchise investing upwards of $50, $52 million in a 19-year-old. And that's a hell of a big investment. But then again, when you're tearing down the roster, you're going to pare down your salaries. You have money to spend on this. And, you know, again, he'll rank among the top of their prospects. So I think that's what Rick Hahn's trying to do, acquire prospects, get a good feeling for what's going on in the organization, and hopefully lightning can strike for the White Sox, similar to what the Brewers have done so far under David Stearns and Craig Counsell.
If you had to bet on one team to win the AL Central right now on May 30th, which team would that be?
I'm going to go with the Yankees. I just think the Orioles have absolutely no starting pitching. I love Buck Showalter as a manager, and he's been getting them great places throughout his tenure there. I think Boston has the most talent, but I'm not sold on John Farrell as a manager. And I just think there's just too many injuries, especially at third base. David Price, I think, to be honest with you, I think they rushed him through his rehab. When you have somebody you've invested that much money in and they've had arm issues, let him spend the entire 30 days on the rehab assignment. Why pitch two? You know, he's pitched in two rehab games and total less than six innings. If I'm going to spend as much money as I spent on David Price and he's hurt, I want to make sure he's 100% when he comes back, not 75 or 80, because again, if he's not 100%, he'll compensate and that could lead to further injuries down the road. And I just think right now the Yankees are the healthiest team. I like Joe Girardi as a manager. And it's going to be interesting when they start playing those division battles, Yankees, Red Sox, Yankees, Orioles, Yankees, Blue Jays. It's going to be an interesting stretch in September in that division, but I like the Yankees right now.
And we'll leave on this, Ed, your thoughts on Mike Trout, arguably one of the most exciting players in Major League Baseball, heading to the shelf for 5 to 8 weeks as he undergoes ligament surgery in his hand.
That's almost the death knell for the Angels. They've had pitching problems in both their rotation and in their bullpen due to injuries. And now you're losing the best player, not just on their team, but in all of baseball, on a slide. You're going to really test how good Mike Socha is as a manager. It looks like the Astros are going to run away with that division, and it'll be interesting to see how together the Angels can rally around Socha as their leader, because that's a really of a direct division. You know, Seattle's got 80% of their starting rotation on the DL. Cole Hamels is the ace of the Rangers staff. He's on the DL. So, you know, this is going to be an interesting direction. I think this actually might determine these next 6 to 8 weeks while Trout's out could determine the future of Socha. If he can keep that team together and keep them competitive, then he can live out his contract. But if the Angels fall apart right now without Trout, I think there may be a parting of the ways at the end of the year.
627, Ed Creech, MLBTradeRumors.com. We appreciate the insight as always. We'll touch base with you in a couple weeks.
All right, thank you. I hope you guys had a great weekend, a great Memorial Day, and I hope your listeners did as well.
All right, and that'll be the first day of the MLB draft, I believe, 2 weeks from today as well. So looking forward to that. We do have the Twins, by the way, tonight on 107.5 FM. They're taking on the amazing Houston Astros, off to their best start in franchise history. And don't forget, Sports Illustrated put them on the cover a couple years ago, I believe, as the 2017 World Series champions. Maybe they were off by a year. I can't remember what the cover said. George Springer was on the cover. I do recall that much. But the rebuild that they have undergone in Houston is looking tremendous at this point. They've got pitching, they've got hitting, they've got more hitting, they've got more hitting, and they play some pretty good defense too. And you can catch them taking on the Twins tonight, which, what an absolutely brutal loss for Minnesota yesterday. They lose Byron Buxton to a lacerated finger on a dive for a ball. His finger hits Eddie Rosario's cleat. They take him out of the game, and some defensive miscues in the outfield with Buxton out of the game that you could easily say he makes those plays winds up leading to a huge inning for the Astros, and the wheels kind of came off for the Twins at that point.
Mark Dukes was distraught about it. He was not happy about it, even though they're still in first place.
Type of stuff that the wheels can come. Well, that's, I'll tell you what, the last couple games have sort of exposed their issues with their pitching staff, and especially the depth and then the bullpen. And all it takes is a couple games to get guys gassed, and the next thing you know, you're making a bunch of moves in desperation. And the Twins made quite a few roster moves. I know they brought Jason Wheeler up from AAA and sent Kennys Vargas down just because they were in a roster crunch and he had options. Some other players didn't. It wasn't really necessarily anything to do with how he was performing. So giving the roster a little bit of an overhaul here, again, as Ed pointed out, that division is not any great shakes this year. I would sell my stock on the Twins right now. I mean, sell high. is the name of the game. And I would sell my stock on the Twins. Not to say that they won't do it, but I think what you're starting to see is a little bit of a regression back to the norm for Minnesota. The problem in that division is who else is going to step up and take it? The Tigers? The Royals? The White Sox? No. The Indians are there in the discussion, but I think you've got Cleveland and Minnesota to look at of the remainder of the way.
Speaking of the Central, what about the NL Central? The Pittsburgh Pirates are 3.5 games back, and they're in last place.
A picture
of mediocrity right now. I know the Cubs, they're the favorites, still obviously the favorites to win it, but not a lot of good baseball being played in the Central.
As I said on this day, on today's Cubs report, which is pre-recorded, this is looking like it's just going to be one of those years where you reel off three games in a row and you look good. By the way, they're so far in San Francisco's head, it's not even funny. You reel off three wins in a row, and then you lose three to the Dodgers, and then you lose the series opener to the Padres, and all of a sudden a three-game winning streak is wiped out by a four-game losing streak, and you're back at 500. It's just going to be one of those years, unless the team catches fire and goes on a winning binge. And the way that this team's playing right now, I wouldn't expect that from them. And that being said, you look at the rest of the Central, and this is a prize fight. This is, let's go 15 rounds. Who can take the most blows and still remain wobbly but standing when it's all said and done? And I think that team right now is still the Cubs. As Ed said, when you look 1 through 25 on their roster, they've got the best 1 through 25 in the division, but they haven't necessarily played like it, and some of the other teams haven't as well. And I think you're just going to see, look, Cincinnati's better than most people, myself included, gave them credit for. Scott Schebler, the Solon native, has a big part in that as well. Milwaukee is better than a lot of people, myself included, gave them credit for. And Pittsburgh, while taking a step back, as you said, last place, but 3.5 games within striking distance, these teams are all going to wind up playing each other all season long, and it's just trade a win here for a loss tomorrow. And at that point, it becomes almost a war of attrition.
This is actually almost exactly the way that the NL Central played out last year, with the lone exception that the Cubs got off to a 25-6 start.
Because, exactly, and I've said that. I've tried to tell people that.
Because the Cubs went through a slump, what was it, early July into mid-July, and it really didn't matter because nobody else in that division was playing well at the time. The Cardinals were around 500. The Pirates were around 500. Cincinnati and Milwaukee were bottom feeders. So the Cubs went through a couple of rough stretches. It really mattered none to where they were in the standings because they got off to such a hot start. This year, the Cubs get off to a slow start, and now everybody looks mediocre.
319-366-1600, desperately in need of a timeout. But when we come back, perhaps you saw the catfish make its way onto the ice during Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals between the Penguins and the Predators. The story about how the idiot got the catfish into the arena in the first place is worth 5 to 10 minutes of your time. You're not going to want to miss this. You want to talk about someone who was committed to being an idiot. This guy takes the cake. You're listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM.
When it's a beautiful day, the first thing you think of is golf. This summer, hit the links as often as you like and save money with a season pass for the City of Cedar Rapids golf courses. Choose now from passes for adults, seniors, young professionals, or junior golfers. Once you've got your season pass, golf all summer long at the four Cedar Rapids City courses. Gardner, Twin Pines, Ellis, and Jones. Each has its own unique character. Get your season pass now for a summer of great golf. Details at playcedarrapidsgolf.com.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases. But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA LLC has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid AIR is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid AIR has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The AIR offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010. 1-800-758-2010.
All right, we need to get you one before we get to the catfish throwing story. A Midwest One Bank Big Board update. The Iowa baseball team will be the number 4 seed in the Houston Regional at the NCAA tournament after it won the Big Ten tournament for the first time in school history over the weekend. The Hawkeyes will wind up facing number 1 seed Houston Friday at 7:04 in a nationally broadcast game on ESPN2. The Cougars, a regular season and conference tournament winner in the AAC. They were 40-19 on the year. The other two teams in the regional, along with the Hawkeyes and Cougars, Baylor and Texas A&M. It's a double elimination bracket, much like the Big Ten tournament. The winner of the regional goes on to a best-of-three game super regional against either North Carolina, Florida Gulf Coast, Michigan, or Davidson. The Cedar Rapids Colonels open a brief 3-game homestand with the Quad Cities River Bandits tonight at Veterans Memorial Stadium. The Colonels fell to Kane County 3-2 yesterday afternoon. John Duplante, one of the best pitchers in the minors so far this year, 6 shutout innings and 6 strikeouts as he lowered his ERA to .50 on the year. It's opening night in the Northwoods League. Waterloo will host St. Cloud at Riverfront Stadium. The Bucks feature just one Iowa player this year, freshman infielder Kyle Kroll. And state championships all around in Class 2A and 1A for area teams. Iowa City West beats Linmar in 2A today. And in Class 1A, Cedar Rapids Xavier wins the hardware in Ankeny. It's 6:37. To stay on track, we'll step aside, take a break, unless you've done something that I need to know about here, combining some things. You say we're good. We're good. Alex has laryngitis today, so he's communicating just using fingers, and believe it or not, he's only used his thumb today as opposed to any of the other fingers that people sitting in his chair have sometimes given me during my 5+ years on the air.
Has anybody sniffed their finger?
No Colin Cowherd incidents at all over there, but I have seen fingers other than thumbs, and technically the thumb is not a finger, correct?
That's what I hear.
I think I recall slightly paying attention during that class in high school.
Is a tomato a fruit? I feel like I heard those two in
yes,
the same
because
discussion.
Of the seeds.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think that's the justification I was always given.
Welcome back to Elementary Science with Todd and Alex. It's 6:38. When we come back, the Stanley Cup playoffs are underway. The Nashville Predators have, I guess you could call it a tradition, although they've stolen it from the Detroit Red Wings, who threw octopi onto the ice. They throw catfish onto
Gross.
The ice. It's a look. We went out for a family dinner a couple weeks ago for my mother-in-law's 60th birthday.
That's right. You really like catfish, don't you?
No, I don't. But my brother-in-law ordered one and sat there and ate it.
A whole with the skin on it, and
whole with the bones and everything. And catfish, it's a bottom feeder. Those things eat batteries and God knows what else people throw into waterways. I mean, unless you get lucky and you get the farm-raised one where they're commercially raised. But if you're eating some godforsaken Wapsipinicon catfish, which I'm from DeWitt, I've got plenty of friends that have eaten a catfish or two out of the Wapsie, those things are just nasty, nasty, disgusting fish. Ugh. Bottom feeders, okay? They throw catfish onto the ice, and they were on high alert at the arena for anybody trying to bring a catfish. As a matter of fact, the markets in the area in Pittsburgh stopped selling catfish because they didn't want Predators fans to get their hands on one.
So this person had to bring it from Nashville?
I've got the story on how this guy winds up not only getting ejected from the game, but charged with three misdemeanors. And again, I think you're going to want to hear this because it takes smuggling something into the stadium to the next level. Maybe you've gone into Kinnick Stadium or Jack Trice Stadium and you've got a couple airplane bottles of Finlandia vodka or something stuck down your sock and you feel like a great victory when you make it into the stadium and you didn't get them confiscated. This guy got a whole catfish in and it was stuffed down his pants. And if you want to hear the rest of the story, don't go anywhere because it's on the way in a couple seconds.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000 mile mark. And right now, you can get 5 quarts of Castrol conventional motor oil and an STP filter for just $23.99. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
When you're hiring for a growing business, you don't need lots of candidates. You need the right candidates. You need Indeed.com. With an algorithm that positions your job post where quality candidates are and screener questions that help you zero in on the best talent. Indeed.com, the site proven through an independent study to deliver 5 times more hires than any other. New users claim your $50 credit for a sponsored job at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Does your supply house give you the tools you need to run your business from the office or from the job site? Oh, well, I guess it can't all be like Ferguson. Ferguson.com gives you access to real-time inventory, apps to quickly restock your trucks, account and billing information, and shipping and delivery status right from your desktop or mobile device. And with product photos and spec sheets and personalized My Lists that make reorders a snap, we've made it easier than ever to do business with us, whenever and wherever you want. Get started at Ferguson.com.
Missing that spring in your step? Maybe it's time to stop tossing and turning on your old mattress. Time for a new bed. A Sleep Number bed adjusts to your own individualized comfort and support. And it's built to last 25 years, but costs about the same as a traditional mattress. In fact, 9 out of 10 Sleep Number owners recommend it. And you can only find it at a Sleep Number store. Oh, and right now, it's the lowest price ever on our temperature balancing i8 bed. Save $700. End Sunday. For research information and to find one of our 550 stores nationwide, go to sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back to the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on KGYM 106.3 and 107.5 FM in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, respectively, 1600 AM all across eastern Iowa. Zach Johnson with us on the other side of the glass today, not the Zach Johnson who dumped his equipment all over the golf course in frustration over the weekend, but Zach, our associate producer. And I've been talking this story up for a while, so I hope that I can deliver it in a way that satisfies the people that have been on the edge of their seats waiting for this. I've actually never had a co-host who's been as interested in hearing a story as Alex is right now. So put yourself in the PPG Paints Arena for Game 1. We've gotten a little ridiculous with our venue naming. PPG Paints Arena is where the Pittsburgh Penguins play, a.k.a. the Igloo.
They were the sponsor of my Little League baseball team.
No kidding.
No kidding.
I almost said something other than kidding there. Okay. The fan in question's name is Jake Waddell, and he did this as part of, it basically was put up to doing this by a radio station, which if we did something like this here, we would lose our jobs. But 104.5 The Zone in Nashville.
Did you just do a Doug and Daddy impersonation?
I think I did. Well,
a Nashville radio station.
Before anybody asks, this is not the radio station that Tyler works at. Tyler Ryder, even though he's not Tyler Ryder anymore. He's going by his real name. Waddell spoke to 104.5 The Zone about the prank Tuesday. This is what he wound up doing. He actually got charged with 3 misdemeanors here. But this is a multifaceted plan on getting the catfish onto the ice. He basically, this is too good. I don't even know where to go here. he gets a catfish and then conceals it in his pants and comes up with, I guess, what you could call a special suit of underwear for the fish. So he puts on real underwear. Then he put the fish down into the underwear over the regular underwear and then pulled compression shorts up over the fish and then wore baggy pants. And he had also doused the catfish, which, and this is where the story gets good, he had run over with his truck in an effort to make it smaller, easier to conceal in the vacuum-packed bag in which he was going to store it. He had sprayed it, doused it in old-style cologne, just in case the odor of the fish, I guess, notified someone in the area, hey, which, this dude has a fish down his pants.
You would think that no matter how much you doused it in cologne, you'd still smell it, but I guess not.
So the guy goes, he gets $350 tickets to the game. And then winds up working his way from the upper bowl down to the lower bowl. He found a couple Nashville fans that took screenshots of their tickets in a certain lower bowl section and agreed to wait on the concourse for him while he went down and did this. And he's, by the way, he's doing this in a radio station T-shirt the entire time.
Yeah. Well,
and there are a bunch of lawyers. There are a bunch of lawyers in Nashville that are taking his case for free. They're going to defend him. So he gets down and he throws the catfish on the ice. And the story here from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette is tremendous. And I'm going to post it on Twitter, at Todd Brommelkamp, so that everybody can read it, at least those who follow us on Twitter. I'll put it on the KGYM Facebook page, too. Why not? Number 8, on the they bullet-pointed the story out. Stay calm. Waddell wisely didn't protest much. Security took him to the top of the section for a few minutes, and that's where a crowd started to gather. You can hear the crowd getting restless. Hillbilly, redneck, all this other stuff, they're yelling at me. They're calling me stuff I should be called. The quote is, should be called. This guy is a proud redneck. If it wasn't 1 versus 10,000, I wouldn't have been uncomfortable, but I was kind of hoping the security guards would get us on out of there. So they take him to the holding cell, and they charge him with disorderly conduct, disrupting a meeting, and possessing an instrument of crime.
The catfish is the instrument of crime. I think that the free lawyers that he has are going to get him right on out of this.
Here's the best quote. Try to picture a self-proclaimed redneck saying this. The cop told me to my face, you're being charged with disorderly conduct. You'll get a ticket, a citation in the mail. That's what I was told. Now they come out with a couple other trumped-up charges, which are BS. I mean, a catfish isn't an instrument of whatever the hell they're saying it was. And I didn't disrupt a meeting. It was an athletic event.
This was a very coordinated plan.
It was a redneck.
Disrupt.
A redneck in the right place at the right time. He was spending the Memorial Day weekend at his in-law's house, which is about a 45-minute drive away from Pittsburgh in Boardman, Ohio. And the best part, perhaps, of the story is that he tested out the catfish underwear, how he was going to smuggle it into the arena, by talking to his in-laws for half an hour with the catfish down his pants to see if the in-laws would notice an odor. They knew nothing of his plan. They couldn't tell. And then another great line from the story, and this, you have to picture a redneck saying this stuff, but he talks about wearing the baggy pants and says he's lucky he's a bigger guy. Quote, skinny jeans would have showed it off, that's for sure. What you packing there, buddy? Are you happy to see me, or what's going on? You got a fish in your pants. Now that you get to it.
As one of my favorite people on Twitter says, a guy by the name of Tony X, who discovered hockey last year during the Blackhawks and
yes.
Blue series, he said, and he pointed out, that this guy had that fish in his pants for no less than 3 hours. That's disgusting.
Oh,
but that's devotion.
Oh, the fish was in this guy's possession for a lot longer than that.
So are we talking 6 to 8 hours of having that dead fish in your underwear?
We are talking Waddell bought a pair of $350 upper tickets. Let's see. I'm trying to get to the part in the story where he talks about when he got the catfish.
And then when he put it and when he concealed it. Because I still go back to the smell. Especially with the Penguins looking, their security looking for somebody with a fish in their pants, you would think, no matter how much cologne is sprayed, there's still going to be a smell.
I feel as if I've just given some people in Shoeyville an idea about how to get a handle of black velvet into Kinnick Stadium next year for the first Iowa football game, and that's not what the intent was.
Run it over with your car.
But yeah.
Put it
that won't work with bottles, but it will apparently work with catfish. He said the original idea was to take it in his boot, but the head on the catfish was too big. And by the way, now we have people on the text line pointing out the difference between farm-raised catfish, channel cats, and flathead catfish, and all of the differences. Some are bottom feeders, some are not.
Channel catfish are apparently the bottom feeders.
Catfish, to me, are catfish. They are disgusting. I'm not a fish guy to begin with, but catfish just has a very distinct flavor, and it's not what I would call a good one. Although I say that about some other things now. My kid has graduated to some different baby foods, and one of them is turkey and rice. It literally looks like liquefied Tootsie Roll, if that tells you anything about it. And I heard it described to me by his sitter the other day as smelling like cat food.
Turkey and rice?
Yep, and he loves it.
Liquefied?
Can't get enough of it.
So do you think there's actually turkey and rice in there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The ingredients are on the box.
He
can't get enough of something that an adult human refers to as smelling like cat food. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching him just lick his lips and eating it up. Can't get enough. So that's the story about the self-proclaimed redneck. This guy is very proud to call himself a, quote, dumb redneck with a bad idea.
But, he's all in.
But he's got the radio station 104.5 The Zone and a team of Nashville lawyers on his side.
The superstation of Nashville? Is that what it is?
Nashville's an actual market. But disrupting a meeting. I wasn't at a meeting. It was an athletic event. That's a good line. But then calling the catfish an instrument of crime. It's not a gun. It's not a knife. It's a catfish. I think this is a matter of throwing three things and hoping that the disorderly conduct sticks, which I don't know how look, this guy is going on the radio talking about the plan and the premeditation behind it, and it's in print now. I think you got to have a great lawyer to be able to get you off of the disorderly conduct charge. But he's also probably never going to be allowed in PPG Paints Arena ever again.
I don't think he will.
Which, as a Nashville fan, he probably doesn't mind. Let's step aside and take a quick break. When we come back, we'll give you another Midwest One Bank Big Board update and give you the rundown for a Wednesday edition of the show. Back after this.
When it's a beautiful day, the first thing you think of is golf. This summer, hit the links as often as you like and save money with a season pass for the City of Cedar Rapids golf courses. Choose now from passes for adults, seniors, young professionals, or junior golfers. Once you've got your season pass, golf all summer long at the four Cedar Rapids City courses. Gardner, Twin Pines, Ellis, and Jones. Each has its own unique character. Get your season pass now for a summer of great golf. Details at playcedarrapidsgolf.com.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases. But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA, LLC, has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
6:55 coming up on the program tomorrow. Cedar Rapids Colonels manager Tommy Watkins
and Cody Taylor of Basketball Insiders will preview the NBA Finals.
Hopefully nobody throws a catfish onto the floor.
I don't think they will.
Game one is
it's on Thursday.
Golden State or
yes.
Cleveland? Okay. Cody will give us a preview of the NBA Finals and talk all things NBA with us. Iowa, by the way, the D-League team in Des Moines, rolling out its new logos today, the Iowa Wolves. It actually looks pretty cool. I like them. The secondary logo is the state of Iowa in blue with a green W on it. Kind of sharp-looking logo.
Their affiliation changed this year, I believe. They're now with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
They were with the
Memphis Grizzlies.
They were bought by the Timberwolves with the express intent of having them be their affiliate. So, pretty cool there. Time now for a final Midwest One Bank Big Board update. First off, congratulations to Iowa City West and Cedar Rapids Xavier. They are your boys' state champions in tennis in Class 2A and 1A, respectively. The Iowa baseball team will be the number 4 seed in the Houston Regional at the NCAA tournament this week after winning the Big Ten tournament over the weekend. The Hawkeyes beating Northwestern on Sunday for their first ever tournament title. The Hawkeyes will face number 1 seed Houston Friday at 7:04 on ESPN2. The Cougars were regular season and conference tournament champions in the AAC. They were 40-19 this year. Baylor and Texas A&M are the other two teams in the regional. Whoever wins will advance to take on either North Carolina, Florida Gulf Coast, Davidson, or Michigan in the Super Regional, which is a best-of-three series. The Cedar Rapids Colonels are underway at Veterans Memorial Stadium tonight, taking on the Quad Cities River Bandits in a three-game series. Cedar Rapids lost on Memorial Day to Kane County 3-2. Kane County's John Duplante lowering his Midwest League leading ERA to .50 with 6 shutout innings. And it's opening night in the Northwoods League as the Waterloo Bucks are hosting St. Cloud at Riverfront Stadium tonight. That game got underway at 6:35. The Bucks feature one Iowa Hawkeye on their roster this year, freshman infielder Kyle Kroll. That's going to do it. Remember, tune in tomorrow sometime between 3 o'clock and 7. It's going to be your final chance to win $100 a day in the month of May. 107.5 FM listeners, we send you to Minnesota Twins baseball as the Twins take on the Astros. Everybody else, enjoy your evening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Lots of things take 15 minutes, like sitting through a halftime show or running a very slow mile. Well, Buffalo Wild Wings wants to add one more to the list, the B-Dubs Fast Break Lunch. Order from this menu and you'll get your lunch in 15 minutes or it's free. So put in your order, count all the tiles on our ceiling, and voila, 15 minutes and your food has arrived. Or it's on us. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Valid for tables of 6 or less Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at participating locations for dine-in only. Other restrictions apply. See participating location for details.
The key to success? Keep it